I'm John Batchelor. This is the John Batchelor Show. Suddenly last winter, over Russia, the Urals, something in the sky very early in the morning. Is it a plane? No. Is it a meteor? Yes. Is it Superman? No. It's called the Chelyabinsk meteorite. And just now, it's gone on display. Well, a piece of it, 600 kilograms, a very large piece, in the regional museum, the Chelyabinsk Regional History Museum. All of you getting your tickets to go to the Southern Urals. This is a spectacular display. It's under glass. It looks pretty much like it is the centerpiece of the whole museum. And joining us now are David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. David, a very good evening to you.
And good evening to you, John.
And we welcome our Russian expert on space engineering and on phenomenon to do with outer space, Anatoly Zak, who is the author of Russian Space, The Past Explained, The Future Explored. Anatoly, a very good evening to you. This is a spectacular event in the Urals, in the Southern Urals, and they've displayed 600 kilograms. My information is that nobody saw this coming. Is that correct, Anatoly?
Absolutely. That was a complete surprise. And what is big, even bigger surprise, that actually there was another asteroid which was tracked at that time, which was passing close to Earth. But this one was a total out-of-the-blue event, which happened almost within a few days from the asteroid which was passing close to Earth but never actually hit the Earth. And so we were looking at one direction, and suddenly from totally a different geographical region, we have this sensation.
We're told that the shock wave was larger than, many times larger than Hiroshima's atomic bombs. It damaged much of the city. I think Russia got lucky that morning, don't you, Anatoly? This could have been a much, much worse tragedy.
Oh, this is absolutely. It was a lot of people got lucky, and you can even say that our entire human civilization got lucky, because this could be a bigger rock, and in fact, when this thing was actually falling down, you couldn't really tell how big it is. So we all pretty much can consider ourselves as lucky.
David?
Hi, Anatoly. I'm curious to how the Russian media discusses this and how widespread it is. Do you think the Russian people have a high knowledge level about this incident and what happened?
Oh, absolutely. I think it was like all headline news, and it was on first pages of newspapers. It was at the beginning of all the news reports, and so it was very, very, you can say, popular. It was a sensation in Russia, as it was in around the world last winter.
The reason this connects, of course, to something that is still a mystery, although we've penetrated a lot of it. It happened more than 100 years ago in a part of Russia, Siberia, that very few people were living at the time. And ever since then, pretty much we've speculated everything, haven't we, David, to an invasion by aliens, to a black hole all of a sudden exploding over the Earth. Are there any other theories, David, that I've missed? The aliens and the black hole?
No, I hear a lot of alien talk and nuclear bomb type of talk, but I think that covers it.
All right, June 30th, 1908. Anatoly, I was a much younger person when that happened.
I believe so.
7:17 in the morning, and there was an explosion. It leveled. I see the picture of the trees knocked back. What was that, Anatoly? What do we think?
This is so-called, I understand we're talking about Tunguska event.
Yes.
Which happened in 1908, and that, of course, was an extremely remote region and an extremely sparsely populated. And it was also, of course, more than 100 years ago, so our technical and scientific capabilities were much lower at that time. So, first of all, it took scientists, I think, a very long time to get to the location. And, of course, as we found out, it apparently exploded in the air before reaching the surface. So it was relatively little scientific evidence we could sort of gather and study this event. So it's still in many respects a mystery. It remains one of those historic events which is huge, but we really know very little about.
It looks a whole lot like a meteorite, like the Chelyabinsk meteorite. It just didn't leave any debris, or if it did, we haven't found it yet. Is that a fair analogy to what happened at Chelyabinsk?
Yes, so much is because it's exploded in the air, unlike Chelyabinsk event, where we really have right now, and of course we just reported that big piece was actually lifted from the bottom of the lake. In Tunguska event, we actually didn't find anything close to that. I understand some of the very, very small pieces were found. However, nothing even closely compared to what the scientific trophy which we have right now. So this event scientifically is much more important than what happened, I think, in Tunguska in 1908, even though 1908 event probably was a bigger object than what we have right now.
David?
Can I ask you a little bit of a different question? I see Russia may still be having proton launch vehicle problems. Can you tell us what's going on? I see they keep delaying their current mission.
David, what's the proton, if we're going to switch
on? The proton is their big, heavy rocket that's the workhorse of the Russian rocket family, and it seems like they're having more difficulties, and it's being delayed again and again now for the 25th, maybe.
Anatoly?
Yes, I would say, first of all, probably we need to clarify. Yeah, the Proton is actually the biggest rocket they have right now in their operational fleet of launchers, and it's the main commercial vehicle for the space program in Russia. And I would say that anything which happens before launch is actually good news, because it means that they're actually finding problems before the rocket actually took off. Because if they find something like that after the liftoff, it's much worse. First of all, the second issue is that it probably relates to ground station, which operates the satellite, the payload, which is the rocket is essentially rented by the American company to launch a broadcast satellite, and they have apparently an issue with the ground station in South Africa. So they're resolving that, and if any other technical issues, all of them are resolved before the rocket flies. So that's the good news by any means. So they delay in probably by a few days until, I think, Friday.
Friday. I want to go back to Chelyabinsk, because this was a 17-meter asteroid. That's the estimation that hit February 15th. I've talked about it being many times more than Hiroshima, 440 kiloton equivalent. It hits the Earth, and there's a shock wave, and that can and did in Chelyabinsk break windows. But we now have a meteorite just discovered that is coming. It's TV-135, very easy to remember, 2013 TV-135. Anatoly, this was discovered by Ukrainian scientists. I say it correctly, don't I, Anatoly? Ukrainian scientists.
Absolutely. I think it's the Crimean Observatory, and Crimea is the peninsula in the Black Sea, so that's part of Ukraine, so we can, I think, fairly say that this was discovered in Ukraine.
It's very large, perhaps half a mile across, and it's now predicted to have a 1 in 63,000. It might be changing again because the orbit is still being calculated, 63,000 chance of hitting the Earth in 2032. That's pretty significant, Anatoly. If I read my near-Earth asteroid statistics right, that's closer than we want it to be, because a lot of things are going to happen in the next 20 years.
Right, absolutely. The only thing which I would kind of say on a sort of on a positive side of this, usually when they calculate these trajectories and when they come up with better numbers, they usually increase they actually decrease the probability of the asteroid hitting the Earth. So essentially, we can expect from all the historic experience we have right now is that it's probably, they will say that it's actually less likely that it will hit, hopefully. However, everything can happen, of course, and it's still a lottery, and probably, you know, human civilization not necessarily can afford to have this kind of Russian roulette, if you may.
David, 1,300 feet wide asteroid, rubble pile moving 14, 18, 21 kilometers per second. That's a bad afternoon on planet Earth.
Absolutely, and there are a lot of efforts going on, and Anatoly, I'd like to know if Russia is really active in the movement to come up with mitigation strategies or how to interfere or deal with this NEO threat. I know there's a big meeting and conference coming up in a couple of days in Washington, D.C., but the UN is real active. Is Russia active in this effort?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, you obviously, anybody who remembers the Cold War knows that both Russia and the United States has this huge fleets of ballistic missiles left from the Cold War, and the scientists on both sides were looking for sort of other uses of missiles, which we have, and not only this, but also we have early warning capabilities, these huge radars and this huge antennas, which can predict where different objects move around in space. And of course, all this was designed during the Cold War for military purposes. And right now, we do need to find some peaceful uses for this. And, you know, imagine right now we can use this technology possibly, or similar technology based on that, to predict this threat from space. So, of course, a lot of people in Russia, in engineering community and in science and in military community, are very, very interested in this problem.
And if I understand correctly now, and we just have 30 seconds, Anatoly, so check me up on this. The Chelyabinsk meteorite, we didn't see it coming. We'd never tracked it before. Now TV-135, we'd never seen it before. It's half a mile wide. It's coming by 2032, and we'd never heard of it before. So something else out there could be something we've never seen before that's going to hit us. Is all that correct?
Absolutely. In fact, it's very routine where many of the near-Earth asteroids are discovered only after they actually pass their closest point, because naturally you see it, of course, you see the object when it's closest to you. And of course, when you calculate everything and you process your imagery, it's essentially object already passes its closest point. So it's actually, you don't see it very often in the news because they are not as close and not as big. But in fact, it's quite a routine where objects are discovered after they actually pass the closest point.
Yeah, you're alive, so you discover it. Anatoly Zak, he's the author most recently of Russian Space, The Past Explained, The Future Explored. David Livingston, Dr. Space of the Space Show. ...of Hotel Mars End.